Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church worship service. It is good to have you here with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. My name is Bill. I'm one of the pastors at Zion. We're going to hear from Jana later this morning as she brings the sermon, and looking forward to what she has for us and what God has for us this morning. And good to have you all along. I want to welcome visitors, those that maybe aren't normally with us at Zion Mennonite. So welcome to you. Through this amazing technology, we noticed that we are reaching a lot of people. So we're thankful for the technology to be able to do that. This morning, a couple announcements. First off, and if you are getting the bulletin, I'm hoping you're reading that. We are going to keep the church closed. The church building is closed till further notice. We just don't know how this is going to play out yet. So stay tuned. But till you hear from us, the leaders at Zion, we're going to keep the building closed. And we'll figure out a path forward as we get clearer on what that's going to look like. The second announcement, this is not in your bulletin. You've not seen this anywhere. So pay attention. This is a good one. Next Sunday, we are going to provide for the congregation at the church building outside cinnamon rolls. We've had someone volunteer from the congregation desiring to make cinnamon rolls for everyone in the congregation. So next Sunday, from 8:30 to 9:30, we're going to have cinnamon rolls available for you to pick up. So we're going to have more directions and instructions given to you this week through email, and also when you arrive at the church, we'll have instructions as to what that needs to look like to keep everybody safe. Just to know, for you to know that these cinnamon rolls are being made following the safest protocols available to us, so rest assured, we're looking forward to doing this. It's exciting. I was glad to hear the volunteer willing to do this, and just also recognizing next Sunday is Mother's Day, so come get your cinnamon rolls, and also we'll have a special gift to honor our Mom's Day for all the women. There'll be a special gift for you. So make sure you come get your cinnamon roll and show up, and also we'll have a gift for those women just to celebrate Mom's Day. I think that's all I needed to announce this morning. For our call to worship, as you know, we are in a series. If you've been following us at all, we're in a series out of Philippians. Jana this morning's going to step out of the book of Philippians to preach a sermon she'd actually prepared to preach a couple months ago. And because of schedule and all the changes, wasn't able to do that. So she's adjusted it for this venue through the Zoom session. So we're going to be hearing from her, but she's going to tie in directly with Philippians, although her text is from the book of John. But for our call to worship this morning from Philippians chapter 2, the first 11 verses in Philippians 2 is really our focus and theme throughout this series in Philippians. I'm going to read it this morning from the New Revised Standard Version. It's maybe a little different version than what some of us have heard it. It's still the Word of God. It's just written a little different version. I think it's just helpful sometimes if we can hear it from a variety of perspectives. Again, this is Philippians 2 verses 1 to 11. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Let me pray for us. God, we are grateful for this day that we can gather together, join together as a church, thankful for your love for us, for your ongoing care and concern for each one of us, God. Thankful for this group of people who come together as Zion Mennonite Church, and as we are seeking after what you have for us, God, we are grateful for the care that we can give one another, showing your love to others through how we are looking not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. God, I pray for what we have prepared in this service, for the songs, the children's story, the sermon, that this would all be a way that we might bring honor and glory to you. Amen.
Let's sing together, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, place. Set our hearts on fire, flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. So our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirror here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land.
All right. It is now time for the children's time. And I am going to share, hopefully, with you some slides that I have made for this children's time. And this is called Helping Others. So, kids, if you're close by, if you can hear, or if you get over here and take a look at the computer, this is about helping others. And I'm going to give us a couple pictures, maybe. Sometimes technology is slower than what we desire. And it could potentially be operator error. I don't want to say that that's not the case. All right, there we go. So just some pictures of family. As we think about this time when we are with our families a lot, spending time in our houses together, finding all kinds of things to do, putting every puzzle together that we own, hopefully playing games, but also let's think about how we might be able to help one another. So I want you to think about, make a list of five things you can do to help others. If you could make a list of five things that you could do to help others. And so I thought maybe some of the children would need help in doing this, help, get it? And if you're a parent and you want to help your children, I think the best way to do it is for you to list five things you can do to help others. So five things that you can do to help others. Now, do you need more time? I came up with a few, so let's take a look at my list. Number one, pick up my stuff. I know it's helpful around our house if each of us pay attention to our stuff and can pick that up. And that's one way to help others. Another way is to load the dishwasher. That's important in our house. Not everybody is able or maybe not old enough to load the dishwasher, but certainly if you can, to load the dishwasher. Some in our house would say there's a particular way to load the dishwasher. I won't mention who thinks that, you know, the bowls need to be on the top and not the bottom rack. More on that later, perhaps. But to help one another, loading dishwasher. Next on my list is to sweep the floor. If you can do that, that's a great thing to do as well. The next, number four, is to be quiet when others are talking. And I know sometimes when we're all in the house together, sometimes we all want to talk at the same time. So I thought be quiet when others are talking is a good way to help one another. And then I added, or sleeping, perhaps that's another good time to help others. Now I said to list five things. So number five, I couldn't come up with a number five. So maybe you all have some suggestions for me as to how I might be able to help others during this time. But that's my list of five things. And one of the things I think is important as we are taking a look at the book of Philippians is in chapter 2, verse 4, one of the things that it talks about is that we're to look not just at what we want, but also to be helpful to what other people would like, what other people too need. And so helping others is a way that you and I can show one another that we care about each other, we care about our families, and we really do desire to help one another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, where this verse is, says that we're to value others above yourselves, looking to not only your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. And so valuing one another, helping one another, thinking about things around the house that we can do to help each other is a way that we value one another. So here are some more pictures of some of how people help one another in things that have to happen around the home. Recognizing that there's a variety of things that we do throughout different seasons of life, a variety of things that can happen, but just some ideas of how we might be able to help around the house and maybe outside, and some pictures of doing things outside and helping as well. And one of the ways that we can help one another, even when we can't be close to them physically, is to pray for them. And so I want to pray for us now and just to remind you to try and think about some things you can do to help others and make a list. but also one way to value and to help one another is to pray. So let me pray for us now. God, I thank you for our children. I thank you for our families. God, I ask that you would continue to give energy and restfulness. I pray for those with young children, that you would give them the capacity to have creative ideas of what to do during this time of social distancing and not being able to connect with their friends, to be able to get together and play and to hug and all those fun things, God. So I just ask that you give just insight into the creativity of what we can do with our families. And God, I pray too that you would continue to show us ways that we can help one another. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's sing another song. This song is Sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for.
Thank you, Seth, for your music. I want to send greetings of peace and grace to you this morning. These are words that the Apostle Paul gave to the churches that he wrote to in the beginning of his letters. He would always say, grace and peace to you, the body of Christ. These are like treasures. Presence of God's daily presence in our lives. And we're thankful for God's grace and that we live in his peace each day. I'm going to begin with our scripture text and be reading from John 13, 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." On the last night that Jesus was to have a meal with his disciples, 13 men had gathered for dinner to celebrate their shared history. Can we imagine any world leader today doing this type of act? A world leader removing expensive leather shoes and dress socks from congressional members and washing the lint and the toe jam from between their feet, between their toes. I think what is stunning in this passage is Christ's humility. To think that the Messiah, King of Kings, Son of the Living God, chose the servant's role as an object lesson. It was very practical. Foot washing was a common thing among Greeks and Romans, as well as in early Jewish culture, and it appears as a ritual of daily cleansing. We're doing a lot more daily cleansing today of washing our hands, of disinfecting. This was also a sign of hospitality when someone would first enter your home. And we know in Jesus' time, roads were dusty and people walked everywhere they went wearing sandals. All of our ancient sources show that foot washing was a degrading and lowly task. It would have been first century slaves who would have been the ones to do the foot washing. So we know that Jesus is aware that this is the last meal to have with his disciples before his death. And he understands the authority he has been given, which gives him something his followers never expected. When he takes off his outer clothing and wraps a towel around himself. He's adopting the posture of a slave. The disciples seem to accept Jesus' gesture, although Peter reflects how shocking the deed seems to be. And we know that on this very night, the disciples had another conversation among themselves about who was the greatest. From Luke 22:24, Jesus responds to them, "The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." Jesus is not simply giving them a lesson in humble service. He's doing something that symbolizes his greater act of sacrifice on the cross. From John 13:7, Jesus says to Peter, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." This teaching moment points to how the disciples might imitate Jesus. Disciples were expected to learn by what their teachers taught and imitated. Jesus' model of self-giving love becomes an ordinary piece of the community that follows him and imitates him. In verse 14 and 15, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you." And this is what it looks like to be a Christ follower. I want to read from a book. J.D. Roth is a professor at Goshen College, and he's written a book called Beliefs, Mennonite Faith and Practice, and here's what he says about foot washing. "The practice of foot washing, of literally washing the feet of other members of the church, gives a solid physical expression to our deep understandings about our faith. Foot washing seems foreign in our culture, but that is precisely what makes it powerful. In the intimacy of touching another person's feet, foot washing calls us to an invasion of the privacy we so covet in our culture. In this gesture of intimate familiarity, foot washing reminds us that the church family is larger than our biological family. In the physical posture of humility, foot washing emotionally enacts the leveling of all social, economic, racial, and cultural differences that can easily serve as tools of superiority. Foot washing is an image of a model of our relationships with one another. We're here to serve each other. All are honored and all are served. We are a one another community. By this gesture, all are humbled by kneeling to wash the other's feet, and all are honored and respected by having their feet washed as well. I grew up in the Mennonite church, and I remember my parents washing the feet of other adults as a small kid, and all I was doing was running around with my friends, and at the back of the sanctuary, the adults would partake of foot washing. And I remember being aware of this as being something important and something of a level of intimacy that adults were doing together. And it made me feel safe. It made me feel a part of belonging to a group of people. I'm grateful that this is a practice in our congregation. I'm disappointed that we don't do it more often. We usually have foot washing on Good Friday services. And at times when we've offered that, we've also had hand washing that people can participate in. Not everyone is comfortable with their feet being washed. But what I found for myself is it's easier for me to do the washing than it is for me to let someone wash my feet. It's easier to give than to receive. And so I think it's such an important practice for us in this day and this time. Jesus, the Lord and teacher, emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. In kneeling before one another, we show our readiness to serve sister and brother, neighbor and enemy. We remember the posture we have taken. Foot washing is a sign of our need for cleansing of all that keeps us from a servant's attitude. And Jesus disinfected the disciples of pride and concern for status. In our Mennonite Confession of Faith, Article 13, it says, "We believe that in washing the feet of his disciples, Jesus calls us to serve one another in love as he did. We acknowledge our frequent need of cleansing, renew our willingness to let go of pride and worldly power, and offer our lives in humble service and sacrificial love." From Philippians 2, we've heard these words this morning that tie in so well with this book of John 13. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So I want to give you a question today to take with you. Who is one person's feet God wants me to wash? And how should I do this? And of course, we know right now in our time of stay home, isolation, we're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to get creative. Who is one person whose feet God wants me to wash? And let me know what that looks like. I'd love to hear you share later how that comes about and how you see yourself serving someone else. "A new commandment I give you," Jesus says, "to love one another as I have loved you." May these words renew us through our covenant of servanthood today. Let's pray. Lord, grant us humility, compassion, and understanding for the experiences that we are going through right now. Because each of us has a different story. And give us the courage to reach out to each other, to be willing to serve and offer a gift of servanthood to one another during this time of separation. We pray in your name. Amen.
Let's sing again. "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know by save each one's pride, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His own.
Thank you, everyone, for just the participation in this morning. And remember to stay on. If you want to just wave at everybody after the service, stay on. We'll do that for a couple minutes, but we're going to do breakout rooms again. So just if you want to do that, please stay on at the close of the service this morning. I'm going to take us into a time of prayer, again, recognizing that we do serve one another in prayer. And if you do have a prayer need, please let us know, either call the church or send an email. And also in the bulletin, it was noted, if you are facing some challenges right now in need of assistance, particularly financial assistance, we know some have lost jobs during this time or have been laid off. So we certainly want to be aware of that and be reaching out to them. So please let me or Jana know. If you are in need of assistance, and we certainly want to pray for you, but also help where we can, particularly financially as well. Let's go to prayer. God, we are grateful that indeed you are part of this world. You are part of our lives. You continue to work in this world, and you work in and through us. Continue to help us to know just your presence and your power in our lives individually and also together as a congregation, God. Continue to help us see your spirit at work in our own hearts and in this world in which we live. God, I pray that you would continue to help us to be aware of those around us, our neighbors, where your spirit leads us to reach out. Help us to do that in ways that are safe and creative. And I thank you for our congregation. I pray for those that are facing challenges, whether it's challenges that come from finances right now and finding things difficult in meeting the needs. Pray for just your sustaining grace and peace in their lives. For those that maybe are facing physical challenges, health challenges, God, we would ask a real sense of your peace be in their hearts, God. And I think of folks that we know are continuing to experience healing. We thank you for Ken and his life and how you continue to work to bring freedom from pain that he's experienced. So God, we would ask that we continue to place, have missed some particularly milestone celebrations. And God, I just pray for those who are seniors in high school and the disappointment that is present in their lives and their families, God, I pray that you would bring encouragement where there might continue to be frustration and disappointment. Other things that have been going on, we know there's weddings happening, there's baby showers, and God, all kinds of things that people plan and we're hoping to celebrate in different ways than what we are able to do now. And I think, too, of many who have summer plans and not sure what that's going to look like, vacations and other things, God. So I pray that you give us all a sense of assurance that you are with us in this. There's no surprises with you. You're going before us. Help us to see how we might continue to celebrate, to find points of relaxation as well and vacation. Although it might look different than what we had planned, may we recognize you in the midst of these changing plans, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. We have a song now.
Let's remember to keep speaking peace to one another and serving one another. I want to leave you with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Again, don't forget, we'll send out some information about the CineMom roles. We're going to call them CineMom. That came from Bill. CineMom roles to pick up next Sunday morning. And stay connected if you'd like to go to a breakout room. Thank you.